Good morning, podcast listeners. This is Andrew Horowitz of the Disciplined Investor Podcast, and I have a great show planned for you, and that's because we are going to be talking today with Fausto Puglisi. He is the president of CyberTrader University. Boy, do we get a lot of feedback on that show we did just a few months ago. And I'm going to have a discussion with him about what is day trading all about. And then a question that is on everybody's mind, what's going on in these markets? And how do you generate ideas and find stocks to invest in? And then an announcement about a new contest where you get an opportunity to win some great prizes and be the host of the Disciplined Investor Podcast for an episode. So stay tuned because you know it, you love it, it makes you money, and you've got to have it. It's episode 30 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager.
Don't go telling me that the Fed is not strong. Don't tell me they don't have power. Don't tell me that a quick drop of the interest rates and a quick move of some of the Fed funds and the ability to pump money into the markets doesn't just do an amazing thing. I mean, talk about 4 weeks later, and we are talking about just an amazing turnaround. It has been one of those, I guess at this point, looking back, you can say historic market opportunities. The markets have been absolutely remarkable. That move down in July and August was incredible, incredibly fast, incredibly deep. But at this point, it seems to be incredibly short-lived. I still think that we have a lot of problems ahead of us. You know, our last week's podcast, we enjoyed a discussion from Lizanne Saunders, the Charles Schwab chief investment strategist. We talked to some people from Barron's. I mean, really, the fact of the matter is that a lot of people, a lot of smart people are saying that there's a lot out there. And you have to wonder what is really going to stop this market from just continually moving up. It's not obviously going to be oil at $80. It's obviously not going to be a catastrophe in the credit markets. What's it going to be? I mean, I can't even imagine what it could be. And frankly, at this point, you're almost at a point that you want to just throw in the towel and say, all right, fine, I'm in. So what are we doing now? I mean, what is it as an investor that we should be doing right now? Well, if you remember back, we had talked about many of the things in July and August that really made sense to do at that time that wouldn't really get, you know, too badly hurt if the markets collapsed. And what happened? Wow. I mean, just an incredible amount of movement on the upside for these. Zoomies, $10. Apple, $50. Zeus, $7 or 10%. Schwab, another 10%. Shutterfly, about $10 per share. The list goes on and on and on of things that we recommended really pushing into back in August. What really makes me feel good, though, is those emails that come in that say, hey, Andrew, you know, I listened to your show. I picked up the stock. I made some great money. Thanks. But an email that caught my eye this week had asked me a really important question. I'm always asked the question of when are you going to sell? You know, what's the right price to buy into? But the bigger question was, how do you find the stock in the first place? Numbers aside, we initiated positions with sell disciplines. One of the hardest things to do is to figure out when to sell. The second hardest thing is to figure out what to buy at all. You know, we've talked about ways to find stocks through quantitative investing, and I'm a big advocate of screening and the process in which you can undercover real gems. But one of the greatest investors of all times, clearly by all accounts, is Peter Lynch. He was the manager of the Fidelity Magellan Fund. But here, you know, he has some great quotes. Let me read a few to you because I found these and I thought it would be interesting. And let's talk about how he went about finding stocks. He said at one time, go for a business that any idiot can run because sooner or later, any idiot probably is going to run it. he talked about that. Another quote was, everyone has the brain power to follow the stock market. If you made it through fifth grade math, you can do it. You know, Peter Lynch managed the Fidelity Magellan Fund back from 1978. And back then, the fund started out with about $20 million. When he finally handed over the reins, which was about 12 years later, I guess, it had almost $14 billion in it. And now it has over $50 billion. But how did Peter Lynch come up with some of these names? And what was he looking for? Well, he always said, check the key numbers. He said, number one, if you are excited by a particular product or service, ensure that it counts for the sufficient percentage of a total company sales and that it makes a significant contribution to profits. Number two, favor companies with a strong cash position. Number three, favor companies with a forward PE or price earnings ratio well below the forecasted their forecasted EPS growth rate. Number four, avoid companies with high debt to equity ratios. And finally, number five, avoid slow growers and cyclical stocks. Well, I've come up with some good stocks in my past professionally. I've come up with some real stinkers as well. And I wondered, wow, wouldn't it be interesting if we could find out how you go about finding stocks? Because I want to tell you a story. Recently, I watched my son. He was playing this game called Guitar Hero, which is a Xbox where you kind of click on the buttons and you follow along, and you know, something that is very complicated for me. I find it interesting. I find it actually a lot of fun. But what I realized was that there was something else going on under the surface. What I realized was that as he's playing this guitar, he was really getting into the whole music side of things. And I said to him, Brett, do me a favor. Tell me something. That you're playing this guitar, is that somehow giving you any desire to play a musical instrument? He said, yeah, why? I said, well, what musical instrument? He goes, I'd like to play the guitar, maybe the drums. There's a new product coming out called, alongside this Guitar Hero, it's called Rock Band. And he said, yeah, I would love to play an instrument, maybe guitar or something. I started thinking to myself, wow, if this product is so pervasive, which it is, I mean, the kids love it, and it does bring kids wanting to play musical instruments, who is going to benefit? Now, there's a company called Guitar Center, symbol GTRC, which actually was in the process of being bought and it's going to be folded into another company. But wow, what a great opportunity to pick up a stock, because there may be some kind of a generational move to play instruments again, maybe not only because of this particular game, but does that make any sense? I'll give you another example. I was there. I do a lot of photography. I have I've won up actually a couple of awards. Check out my stuff at imagesbyandrew.com. You'll see some of the stuff that I've done. And I was thinking about all the different places that you can go and get your pictures developed. People go to Walgreens, Costco, Sam's. They do things online, Kodak, etc. I use Shutterfly. Why do I use Shutterfly? Because I've tried the other ones, and Shutterfly is fast. They're good. They're cheap. They're accurate. The colors are great. I love them. I'm not going anywhere else. They have other products that you can get, and you know, just a full array of things that are beneficial to the photographer that is going to be printing their prints. In addition to that, they have a great website. So I could have gone along my merry way and just said, okay, that's great. But you know what? What I did was I decided that I wanted to invest in this company, SFLY. Now, we invested about 25. Maybe I did a little bit late, but we did at 25, and now it's about 37, I believe, somewhere around that. Now again, that's ways of finding ideas. How did I find those ideas? You know, what did I do to get the process? Well, the initiation of those is because I saw something, just like Peter Lynch. Peter Lynch would go stand outside of the Walmart in his neighborhood, watch what people were coming out with. They had a lot of diapers. They had a lot of particular shampoos. They maybe were buying a particular type of toy, and he would research the companies that were behind it, and that's where he made his money. So then I thought to myself, one more thing. Wow, wouldn't it be great if we could do a little, maybe a little contest? We could find out from my listeners what their ideas are, what you have to say. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to have a contest. It's going to last about 4 weeks or so. And that contest is going to be called, Are You a Better Investor Than a Fifth Grader? Peter Lynch style. What I want you to do is this, very simple. What we're going to do is, you hopefully will have an idea. You'll call it in the special line that we've set up, which is, take this down, 877-623-8473. You have 1 minute max to make a pitch, an idea, to kind of, you know, tell us about the stock, why it's important, why you think it's a good idea to own. And then what we're going to do is put it on the site, and each and every week have voting. And there are prizes, real money. What we're going to do is, you could possibly earn $50 Amex gift certificate and a copy of The Disciplined Investor, my book, each week. And the grand prize at the end will be a $250 Amex gift card, as well as the audiobook, The Disciplined Investor, a free day trading university intro class, which is worth about $295, and a new Nokia N95 unlocked phone, a great phone, and a copy of Harry Dent's latest book. Wow. About $1,000 total grand prize. So again, go to the site, thedisciplinedinvestor.com, get all the rules. I want to give you some examples of what they could be. Be creative. We're going to be creative here. We're going to have fun. I want you to have some fun with this. I want to hear your stock ideas. Are you better than a fifth grader when it comes to investing? Take a listen to some of these ideas.
You know what's a great company? Marvel Entertainment. They have all those franchises, X-Men, Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, The Incredible Hulk.
That's actually Research in Motion. They make the BlackBerry, which allows me to juggle my email, contact management, and phone.
My stock is called Crocs. Ooh! This company
is
so...
My stock is Billy Bear Workshop. Their ticker symbol is BBW.
So I hope this is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll get your contribution, your excitement. Tell your friends. Of course, we'll have voting on this each and every week. Go to the site, thedisciplinedinvestor.com, for more rules. And when we get back, I am going to start with a discussion and have a great time, hopefully, with our good friend Fausto Puglisi from Cyber Trading University on day trading. You're listening to The Disciplined Investor Podcast.
Stick around for more of The Disciplined Investor Podcast.
Hi, this is Grammar Girl from QuickAndDirtyTips.com, and you're listening to The Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager.
Welcome back. And if you remember, we did this a little while ago. We talked about trading, day trading in particular, and how to make some money in it. And I have one of my favorite and my gurus of day trading, Fausto Puglisi from Cyber Trading University, with us today. Fausto, how are you?
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Hey, listen, I wanted to, you know, we had such a great response from the last one. So many people had called in because you had given away a opportunity to do a free day trading course, which I'll ask you to do again at the end of this conversation. But I thought what we'd do is start with a little bit of kind of the basic terms of day trading, and then we'll ramp this up and explain how it works. So let's start with this. What is day trading?
Well, day trading, obviously what it means is exactly what the words say, day trading, meaning you're in and out the same day. And then what happened was a lot of people kind of changed, thought day trading was a bad word because they were mixing and matching with investing or swing trading, meaning anyone who actually tried to take matters in their own hands, do their own trading without having a stockbroker or a mutual fund, they were classing them quote-unquote day traders, and that's not true. Day traders is just people that are, you know, taking matters in their own hands, trading on their own, but just going in and out of stocks for the day,
right,
not holding any overnight positions.
So why is it? It seems that, well, at least what I see is that the industry has always frowned upon it. You know, we talk to buy and hold, and you know, the long run. You talk about a stock for the next 5 years. I mean, why is it that it isn't more accepted in the industry?
Well, because you are your own boss. You can come and go whenever you please. And there's a lot of people that are trying to trade in today's markets. You don't need a lot of money to make your day's pay, and that's something that I teach in my classes. See, a lot of people think like they always think like, oh, 30% on your money, 50% on your money, 10% on your money. Don't realize it in a trader's mentality. It's about making a day's pay.
Right.
And when we go into the market, you know, we just kind of look and just find what we can find that has some momentum and just jump in and jump out and just move forward till tomorrow.
I guess that's a good thing to think about it as a job, because versus investing, when you're investing in your portfolio, it's a much different concept. And I guess that's where that demarcation point is. When you look at, you know, you invest and you have a stock or a mutual fund or a bond or whatever it is that, you know, real estate, maybe not these days, but, you know, that you can invest in for the next few years, whereas day trading. And I know that you have a rule that you never hold overnight, which we can talk about. But and then the differential between that, which is your job and your day's pay, versus swing trading. Explain swing trading.
Swing trading is something that's done into design where someone would actually sit there and be more technical involved as looking at major indicators, being more involved with fundamentals and technicals on a stock. And what they'll do is they'll position themselves when it's time is right for them, when all their T's is crossed and their I's are dotted,
right.
Then they'll jump in. And then what happens is that then they'll hold it for a period of anything past over one day, over the night, a couple of days, a couple of weeks. So that's more of a swing trade because you're swinging for the longer period of time, where day trading is on the short period of time.
Okay, so the word trend always comes up when you talk about trading. You know, it's going. You know, the stock is trending, and we got to watch the trend. The trend is your friend, we hear. And explain what trend means and how that's applicable to day trading.
Well, to the end of the part. You forgot the last part. Don't buck the trend.
Yeah, right.
Because that's where people make a mistake. The trend is when the stock is picking a direction, like a hill. You're walking down the hill. That's the trend. The trend is you're going down. So you kind of just go with the trend. You know, obviously, if it's still going down, you follow along with it. And that's mainly the trend of stock. And everyone tries to second guess the trend. They're like, oh, this got to be the bottom. Or this got to be the top. Let me get out. And, you know, and the thing is that when you're not an analyst, you don't know. Just follow where the momentum is going. People on the street know what they want to do with it. Just follow what they're doing. And wherever the trend is going, just stick with it. And, you know, and just wait and wait and wait and just until you see it stop. Because eventually it will stop. Eventually you will hit a ceiling and you'll see it start to trend down. But until that happens, just stick with the trend.
One of the things that I've noticed is that you have a group of people that are day trading, and a lot of the volatility has been blamed on them over the last number of years, frankly. But you have these people day trading. But then you also have the idea of these institutions that are involved in the markets on a daily basis. And I've noticed that when people make a transaction, they buy or sell something, and they go in, whether it's on a market order or on a limit order, whatever it is, they don't realize there is just a ton of people watching what they're doing. Maybe not specifically them, but watching the general buys and sells from the average Joe out there and doing things to that to kind of change the market look for their benefit. You know what I mean? Would you agree with that?
Well, I do agree with it, and that's why a lot of people always try to blame somebody else. Meanwhile, they're the ones to blame more than anyone because, you know, who are we day traders? We're like a little, we call a little sand on the beach. You know, we can't really move markets. We're just a little bit of a headache for them, other than not letting them know, the street know what the day traders are doing. And they'll play games, which we'll talk about later. I think we talked about the market maker traps.
Right.
But we really don't have nothing to do. It's really pretty much them, the mutual funds, the investment banking, the managers, the
who's the them? Who's that, quote, them? Who are they?
The mutual funds, basically the brokerage firms, Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch, Jerson Lehman. You know, they're traders. You know, it's funny. I was just talking about this the other day, exactly what you're talking about, because they were asking me who actually moves these markets. And believe it or not, you know, one of my favorite stocks that I like for the long, long term is brokerage firms. And one of my all-time favorite is Goldman Sachs.
Mm.
Even to the day it was opened, and mm-hmm. people don't realize this, is that 70% of the profit the company makes, you wouldn't believe where it comes from.
Where?
The trading department.
Really?
The trading department.
Really?
Not their investment banking deals, not the IPOs, not their brokers, stock brokers, their accounting, their real estate deals. Trading, their trading department.
Hmm.
That's where they make their money. So
Wow. That's
why we always call on Wall Street, you know, Goldman Sachs, we call the godfather of Wall Street. You know, when he talks, people listen.
Right.
If you see him on the bid and ask, you better watch because he can move markets.
You know, I took all your classes way back because I wanted to see what they could do. And they were great. There's the beginning, the intermediate, the advanced, the master, and all that. But I remember the first time that I watched you at 8:30 in the morning and you said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And I saw that on the screen that was in front of me, because it was essentially your desktop that I was seeing on my desktop, and I saw that it was said the word live, and you were trading, and all of a sudden you trade. I'm thinking, my God, this guy's going to go in with his own money at this point. Oh my, what happens if it doesn't work out? And I was really nervous for you. You know, it's kind of
it's pretty controllable. I mean, I don't really get into, you know, the extreme. When you're day trading, it's not like, it's not as people think, like you're going to lose several thousand dollars. You know, if you look to just trade and make your day's pay, if it's $200 a day, you know, it's a stock that moves 20 cents on 1,000 shares, that's your $50,000 a year.
Right.
It's not, you know, you don't have to be the super extreme and be the aggressive part of it. But you know what? Honestly, Andrew, if you don't go out there and show the people, you know, and put your money where your mouth is and actually see what it looks like, I mean, anybody could print anything, you know, and show you in a lesson planner. But unless you can't see it really happening in the market, then it's really kind of worthless.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you this. So to begin, so one of the things that you do, obviously, is to get an education in the area of day trading. You have to start with some of the basics, right? So you start with the whole idea of understanding what market makers are and understanding what some of these traps are. And in fact, you know, in my book, The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success, I talk about, I sent you a copy?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. You know, I think that, you know, one of the things you want to know is, you know, who's out there doing this? I mean, so this idea of market makers come in, you know, tell me about what market makers are.
Well, that's a good question. Now, first of all, market makers are brokerage firms, and a brokerage firm has something called a trading department where they do all their trading activity. So they have their stockbrokers, let's just say, out on the floor, and whenever they want to do a trade or they call their clients, they have to go to their trading desk, and they have to give it to one of the traders in there, and that trader is called a market maker. Now, the reason why we call brokerage firms market makers is because they're making a market in the stock. In other words, you know, you want to buy a brand new Mercedes. You know, you don't go to Daimler Chrysler in Germany. You go to Fort Lauderdale Mercedes, and right. That's a guy that owns the property, and he's making a market selling those cars. And remember, that guy could sell any car that he wants. He could sell Ford, Cadillac, Porsche, but he can, you know, but he's making a market in Mercedes, and that's why market makers, brokerage firms, don't make markets in every single stock. They only make markets in stocks that they have an interest in.
Okay.
So we call them a market.
And obviously, an interest to make money. That's where they think they can make the most money in it. I mean, that's the game.
And that's why they're not. That's why they're not a market maker in every single stock. You know, when you look at a level two quote, which I teach in my class, you'll see that some stocks only have probably 100 market makers in it. There are over 500 market makers in the industry. They don't make markets in every stock. They only want to make markets, like you just said, the ones that they feel they can make money in.
And then, you know, again, we're throwing out a lot of terms, and I don't think a lot of people understand this, but like level two, when most people trade, they go over to their broker, they sign in on the line, or they make a call, and they say, I want to buy this stock, no greater than this price, or I want to sell the stock, no lower than this price. But, you know, when you day trade, what you have to have is a much different system. What it is a system that gives you not only the stock quotes and charts and all that, but and live, obviously, no 20-minute delay, but it also shows you the other market makers out there and what they're doing. Right? Is that?
Well, that's the beauty about level two. And what happens is a lot of people tend to neglect not buying level two. I know there's a cost that comes along with it, but it's part of doing business. You know, it's like, you know, it's about like your book. You know, Andrew, they want to learn about your book and how great it is. You know, it's a small investment. It's $14.95, and they'll get more knowledge out of that than if they try to go out there and sit on the computer and do research. Same thing when it comes to level two quotes.
Right.
You know, people neglect not to get it because,
you got to pay to play. You got to pay to play, right?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Right. Otherwise, you'll be in last place.
All right. Right. Exactly. So tell me about, you know, that is funny. You know, I think that is interesting because I think there's so many free things out there that people are forgetting that, you know what, for a couple of bucks, whatever it is, if they can help you just with one or two ideas, why not do it? And that's the whole point of, you know, some of the things that we talk about. I mean, I know that I've gotten emails from plenty of people that said, I bought this stock that you said, I bought that stock for you. I mean, frankly, you know, I'm not charging anything. All I'm asking everybody to do is buy my book. That's what I am asking for. But nonetheless, you know, the thing is that sometimes it makes sense. Just spend the few dollars for the level two or spend for the live feeds in when it comes to stocks. I mean, it's part of the game. You want to make money? Fine. You want to make a lot more money? Maybe you got to spend a lot more money to do so. But
Andrew, think about it.
Yeah.
How valuable is it to you and to anyone just to say, like, you have the opportunity to have a floor in the New York Stock Exchange and see where Goldman Sachs and Merrill Lynch is running or what booth, what they're trying to buy.
Yeah.
Just to have that control to see it, what that guy is doing, how much is that going to help you on your everyday trading other than sitting there and just looking at the bid and ask on your online broker and like, oh, look, the arrow just turned green. It must be going up. Oh, they're talking about CNBC. Or I just got a newsletter, an upgrade or a downgrade. I mean, it's everybody knows. The fact is, who controls Wall Street?
And also, it has to do with timing. You know, it used to be that we would go out and we'd get our stock quotes from the next day in the paper, but now we need it immediately. And that's the other thing: the time of it, the quality of the information, and paying for that. And again, I'm not espousing go out and spend all this money to do so, but maybe when we talk about day trading, don't even think about trying this on a 20-minute delay, on a 20-minute delay situation where you're just, you know, randomly buying a stock from your broker. And a matter of fact, that's the next thing I want to get into, this whole idea of market makers and traps.
Well, when it comes to a trap, everybody kind of doesn't realize, they keep asking me, well, what is a trap? Well, basically, it's where they're trying to trap you to make you think that the stock's going one direction, but it's really going the other direction. So they use this kind of reverse psychology when it comes to looking at level two quotes. Simple way of explaining it, everybody knows, they always say, when I buy stocks, since I buy it, the damn thing goes down. And when I sell it, finally goes up.
Right.
You know,
I've heard that a million times. Right.
Yeah, all the time. You know, it's not your fault. I'm being serious because it's what market makers knew. know how to play that game, that reverse psychology. And how do I know that? Because I was a market maker. I had to do this all day long. I'm not going to go out there and tell you what my hand is. If I know the street owns stock and I know the stock's going up and I got to buy it, I'm going to do everything in my power to make people think, you know, to get them to sell it. So I could, because I know I need it, because it's going up in price.
Right.
How do you get people to do that? You have to put fear in their eyes to let them know that, listen, the risk to reward is not worth it. Sell it now. And that's the game that's being played. And that's the clip that I'm going to be putting on your website. Now, in my opinion, your listeners are probably not going to like what they're going
to
see.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it sounds kind of awful, to be honest with you. It sounds kind of sleazy. It sounds, you know, like, you know, wait a minute, there's manipulation going on. I mean, but let's you know, for those of us that have been in this business for years, I've been in the business 20 years. I got to be honest with you. It probably took a number of years for me to really wake up to the realization of this. But there is, quote unquote, manipulation going on all the time. That's the game. It's like poker. Is it legal to bluff in poker? Well, sure, that's the game. That's what's going on here.
That's the, and is it true that when you buy something on eBay, you don't think the owner on the other side is bidding up his own item?
Yeah, don't get me started on eBay. Don't get me started on eBay. That's a big problem at eBay. Oh boy, I can only tell you a story.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm just telling you, it's almost impossible to sell anything on eBay these days. I mean, this is a digression here, but I mean, I had a phone I was selling. I used to sell things here and there. I would test something out. I'd report on it for my investors and see what it's like technology-wise and then sell it, you know, and it was in good condition and always worked out very nicely. I have a phone right now I'm trying to sell, and I got to tell you, the entire world tries to buy it and then scam me. What they do is they try to buy it from me and then take it off and then send me some bogus PayPal notifications. And then you know, try to get all my credit card information. It's horrible. I don't want to even get into it. It's like impossible.
I know. That's a whole story in itself.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. Tell me about the traps.
But exactly. I mean, there are sleazy people everywhere in any business that you are in. If it's in the car business, if it's in the, you know, real estate business, or if it's even in the brokerage industry, they're out there. You just need to know. And this is bluntly saying, it's a game. You just need to know how the game's being played. And 99% of the people out there don't know how the game's being played. We still think as investors, and it's okay to think as an investor. You know, but when you want to get into day trading, a lot of people try it and think it's hard, and it's really not. It's just that you were never taught the way to trade. They try to be more technical involved. They don't realize that, you know, there's a very important key component to know how the game's being played. The only guy's going to really teach you is a market maker or a guy like myself that was one that teaches this all day.
So what is the biggest – I think I know these answers because I'm just thinking off the top of my head about this. And what is the biggest mistake that people getting into the day trading world and who are beginners in day trading, what's the biggest mistake they make?
I don't even answer. I don't even know where to start.
Well, it's a long list, right?
That's a long list. It's not really long. I mean, first of all, I mean, the most important thing that you want to do is have, not even opening up a brokerage account, not even like, forget about that. Just spending a little time, like, simple as reading your book, Andrew. I mean, something so small like that, an inexpensive thing, and say, listen, I'm looking to take $50,000 or $10,000 or $5,000 to go out there and start trading, you know, and everybody thinks it's easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple
right.
to do, but you got to start out making some type of investment and making sure if it's for you. Next step, you take a course. And not just mine, maybe someone else, you know, several different kinds, because everybody has their different techniques and strategies. Go out there, go to expos, go to financial expos, listen to other speakers, see what they have to say. And don't be married just to one. Don't fall in love with one guy. Shop around, listen around, and then make an investment. Get educated.
Yeah, but let me plug you for a second. I want to tell you something seriously. I want to plug. I've seen a lot of courses. I've done a lot of things. And the reason that I like your courses and the way you teach is that you give rules, number one. You have absolute rules that you give. It's very organized. You explain the techniques, what you have to do, where you have to look every morning. Okay, the first place you're going to look is you're going to look at the NASDAQ.com. Find out where there's imbalances. Find out what's trading, what the news is. Okay, next, make a list for yourself. Top 10, top 20, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the most important thing is that you bring a lot of reality. Because on the other hand, and this is, you know, back to something I've written about, talked about quite often, and frankly, I have about 10 pages in the book about this, is I personally witnessed an individual who was doing trading, and it was a combination day trading and swing trading. And he did it for about 6 months and we on a quote unquote paper trade, testing out the systems and all. And he was making like $40,000 a month. And I said, wow, that's just wow. I mean, I was blown away, right? And it was a simple thing where he'd look and find some particular light that flashed in front of him. And then it said, okay, that was a buy and that was a sell. But what happened was when he went live, this is a true story. When he went live and he started really trading, he lost $40,000 his first month. And he said, what did I do? I didn't do anything differently. The problem was he didn't follow the basic core rules of day trading, which what he thought he was doing. And when he was doing the paper trading, right, he didn't realize you can't buy a million shares of that stock and not move it. You know, when it was just this pretend account, it was no problem. But I got to tell you something. I think the biggest mistake that people make when they day trade, I think emotions. Would you agree that their emotions get the best of them?
The discipline is definitely emotions kick in and they don't discipline themselves. Absolutely. Right.
They break the rules.
Which they don't even know what the rules really are.
Right.
Because they never were taught the proper rules.
Right. The third thing is that they believe that the stock that they chose to invest in, if it goes down, they should chase it because that stock owes them. You follow what I'm saying?
Down, one of the biggest killers of trading.
Right. But they also believe that that stock, they need to make their money back on that stock.
It's not even that. That stock owes me.
Right. Yeah.
It owes me. I want that money back that I lost, and that's why I'm saying averaging down. That's what people do.
Right. And then I think the other mistake that they make, that I've seen at least, is that they make a lot of assumptions on the thought of investing and bring it into the whole day trading environment, when in fact they need to take everything they've learned, kind of put it aside, fundamentals, technicals, everything, all the core things that I teach, but they need to put that aside because day trading is an entirely different animal. Would you agree?
I cannot agree, because I hear it all the time. People tell me when I do other guest speakings, people always ask me, Fausto, what do you think of the Intel today? What do you think of this? I'm like, you know what? Believe it or not, I really don't care. I don't know. I don't know what it's doing or game plan. You know, the bottom line is the trend was up. The market makers are trying to shake people out to sell it, and the trend is going up, and I made my day's pay. That's it.
Right.
What happens after I sell it, after 6 minutes from now or 20 minutes from now, I don't care if the company goes bankrupt. I made my money. I followed the trend. I saw what it was, and that was it. It's a very different mentality, and that's why a lot of people lose money in trading versus the guys that do make money trading consistently, a guy like yourself, because they put their – not just their emotions, but they're also – they don't realize that this is trading. It's a job. It's not an investment. And
right.
That's where they get themselves caught up in it.
So let's just go back just for a moment for the idea of, we talk about what the mistakes are. I mean, what if people – give me some success stories. Tell me obviously don't give me the outliers, the really crazy ones. But when you're an average guy that has been doing it and sticking with it, I mean, what can they expect?
Well, first of all, and you brought that up, I tell everyone, if you ever watch those infomercials and you see those people say, I made $15,000 on a system or 20, just do yourself here, run far, far away as
you
can.
Yeah, I hear you.
I always tell people right off the bat, yeah, the guy made $15,000. But you know what? In baseball, if you're batting over 300, you're one of the best baseball players, in the business.
Mm-hmm.
But they strike out 700% of the time.
Right.
You're going to lose, and the whole idea is being consistent. So if the guy that made that much money, he's also going to lose. He's also going to be willing to afford to lose $15,000 or $20,000 a month, because it's going to happen. If you don't win every day, it kind of breaks down at the end of the year. But my success stories are the people that, I try to teach people to teach them how to make their day's pay. And the people that are focused on making their day's pay are going to be successful. For example, I always like to teach my class, now understand this, everyone has different pockets than other, deeper pockets than other, but I like to start out teaching people to be, if you come from $100,000 a year salary, if you made a 50% raise, I mean, you're hitting a home run.
Yeah.
Well, to make $50,000, you have to make 20, on 1,000 shares of stock, you have to make 20 cents. 20 cents is $200. $200 comes out to be about $50,000 a year. It's not hard to make 20 cents, to pull 20 cents of the stock. Not $2, $5. I'm talking 20 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You do 2 trades a day, it's 10 cents. It's not a lot.
Right.
And it's just being consistent. I mean, and then don't worry, you're going to hit those home runs. You'll make 50 cents. You'll make a dollar being in the right place at the right time. But don't look at every stock that you buy is going to be, it's going to pay your mortgage payment next month. Just be consistent.
Yeah.
Make it, turn the machine off, and go on. And that's the more successful traders that I have. And then once you see that you're doing well for several months, then you could up it to 500, you know, and to be consistent, because it's a big step to go from a $200 day trader to a $500 day trader, which now becomes $100,000 salary. And then obviously the ultimate goal is a professional trader always looks to take a point out of the market, which is your typical $1,000 a day, which, you know, obviously do the math there, it could be over $250,000 a year.
Yeah, well, let me just also say that, you know, on the other side of all this, this isn't for everybody. You know, this is for the average, not for the average person, but someone who wants to be involved, it is work, you know, and wants to be really engrossed in the market and play it in a way that they can make some money and earn some profits. And be careful, because you can get hurt if you don't know what you're doing. And that's the big issue. It's obviously the training. So let me just segue into this, and we're going to close this up. But last time you were on, you had offered a free trading course to my listeners, and I got to tell you, I got a lot of people who sent in emails that and said, "How do I get that free trading course?" And we're going to do that again, and I'm going to kind of post that right on the front of the site, and we're going to let you get right in there. But tell me about that course really quickly, and how they can get it.
Well, that course is you know, we started offering a course, and I know it sounds free, so which we always talk about, say, "Oh, it's free, can't be that great." And believe me, it is one of the greatest courses. For the purpose of, I would rather take the time and teach your listeners for free how to actually trade properly before they make one single investment in the stock market, because obviously the course obviously follows with a paid course. But this course is a live course. I do it through a WebEx meeting. It's a webinar. You get to see my execution system. You get to see me buying and selling stocks. You get a lesson planner with it. The class is being archived. You can go back and review it. In that class, you're going to actually learn some of the great things that everybody wants to know, which a lot of you don't know. You're going to know how to find stocks that are moving in the market. You're going to learn how to actually read a chart properly, which 80% of the people think they know to read charts, are reading them backwards. Don't believe me. You'll see it in the class.
Right.
And it's so simple. It is the most simplest thing, but people make it more complicated than what it is.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to put it on the site. I'm going to put a link to the site, and it will be special for the listeners of the Disciplined Investor. So when you get that, obviously you'll know. And then we'll send it off to you, and then you guys, I guess your office will schedule and tell them when the class is going to be, right? Is that how it works?
That's correct. That's right. They usually come up. We do them every once a month, and I think the next one's actually coming up in early October.
All right. So that's great. That's great. So listen, gang, if you want to know anything, if you ever had the idea that, oh, I'd love to day trade, that looks so neat, or maybe you don't, go to the site in the show notes, and we'll put on the site so that you can link up and get your free day trading course. And it is well worth it. If nothing else, it's fun to watch. I got to tell you something. So spend some time doing that. And as always, Fausto Puglisi of Cyber Trading University. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
All right. That about wraps it up for today. That was great. I think that you know, he really has a lot to offer, and I think taking that free course is going to be great. Just a reminder, go to the site, because that competition, that contest about are you smarter than a fifth-grade investor with prizes and glory and fame is coming up. So go right to the website to find out all the rules and eligibility at www.thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Thanks for joining me again. Thanks for being here as a part of the Disciplined Investor podcast. See you real soon. Make sure to get your ideas, because it's going to be a lot of fun if we have a lot of participation. Go to the website, call it in, vote on it. Hopefully you can become the next host of an episode of the Disciplined Investor podcast. As Andrew Horowitz saying, thanks again for being with me. I'll see you real soon. Bye-bye.
The Disciplined Investor podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in, and be sure to subscribe.